Directions Media. This is Directions on the News for Tuesday, February 26, 2008. I'm Joe Francica, and I'm joined by my colleague, Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor. Each week, we tackle a timely topic of interest to the geospatial community. This week, we look at search, geospatial globes, and the Google effect 2 years later. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by ESRI. Attend the 2008 Developer Summit in Palm Springs, California, March 17th through the 20th. Meet one-on-one with ESRI developers, network with other GIS professionals, and exchange ideas on GIS development and design. To register, visit www.esri.com/devsummit.
Adina, we're now 2 years down the road since the geospatial world was kind of turned upside down by Google Earth. Professional GIS users are now lining up to not only visualize content currently offered by Google, but adding their own layers using keyhole markup language, KML. Hence, many believe that Google Earth and its counterpart in crime, Microsoft Virtual Earth, provide the most comprehensive and, to use a government term, common operational picture that the geospatial community has ever had, and thus rendering some of the initiatives that we've come to follow, like the National Map and Geospatial One Stop, kind of like second cousins to organizing geospatial data. Now, you could say that consumers, on the other hand, are no longer as geographically challenged as they once were. You know, ask anybody on the street, and they've heard of Google Earth, they've used it. Their enthusiasm for that is kind of resoundingly in the affirmative. The political geography is probably better understood. Physical geography is more revealed to these people. There's more people who get the fact that they have a better geospatial perspective. I hope that many people are beginning to think spatially. But GE and Google Earth and Virtual Earth are becoming merely platforms where I think in the future what we're going to see is more specialized globes and, more to the point, portals for specific applications. I think other people will be building globes, and they may not be built on Google Earth or Microsoft Virtual Earth. We have now things like from ESRI's ArcGIS Explorer. I think what we're going to see are specialized globes in very specific industries. We may see something for like retail or the insurance industry, maybe something by professional organizations. Ways to manage geospatial technology that is very, very specific, and I think people will begin to provide their own globes for their own applications.
I think that's probably true, and I want to raise a point that I've raised in the past, and that's, is it really the globe that's the better organizer of this information, or is it the map? The advantage of a three-dimensional globe, it's certainly there if you're looking to understand the world in that particular perspective, which is 3D. And certainly there are those who argue that we go through life in this 3D world, so we should visualize it in that same way. And perhaps because I am challenged in navigating in 3D, in maps, in video games, I'm the kind of person that gets sick to my stomach at those 3D movies. I am much, much happier in a 2D environment. Not only sort of physically, but also I think my opportunity to draw conclusions, to find patterns, to understand relationships is far better in 2D than 3D. And you have to admit that the amount of energy required to run a 3D environment, whether it's a Google Earth that sits on your machine, or to create the data required for a 3D environment, those energy inputs are very high. And I am not convinced that the return on investment is high enough over 2D to make that the platform of choice.
I think you're getting into specifics that are not necessarily what people who are unfamiliar to geospatial data recognize as important to them. And your distinction is 2D versus 3D. My distinction is, on the platforms we have available to us, it's the interface. It's the way that we interact with the map. What has happened now is that even the most geospatially unaware person can look at this technology and now get it. And I'll go to an example that we both heard at our Rocket City conference last year, which was when the Director of Homeland Security for Alabama stood up and made a presentation telling us about how he went to the sheriffs in the individual counties of Alabama and showed them this application. And what did they say? They said, "I want that." And what they're referring to is, I want that way to interact with the data. And whether it's 2D or 3D, I don't think it mattered to them. But what they saw was an interface that they could easily navigate and find the information that they want. And that's the point that I'm trying to make, is that these individual specific industry specialized globes are going to be more of the norm, and that the platforms we use, whether they're Google Earth or Virtual Earth, are going to be the preferred platform to visualize information. Now, we think of them, or at least I think of them, as relatively dumb globes right now. They're great. They have a lot of information, but they don't do much. I think what we're going to see in the future is more interactivity and more ways to use analysis on these globes than perhaps we think we can do now.
Have you seen evidence sort of hinting that that's the case? I guess I'm still living in this world where I think people are just excited about, and I apologize if this sounds too simplistic, putting dots on the map. I think we're still learning how to do that and grasping what that even means.
Just as we have seen that, dots on the map, which is really what we have now with Google Earth, wonderful, wonderful ways to display information, okay? You can look at Google Earth and you can see YouTube videos geotagged there. You can see photos geotagged. And that is our limit right now. That is our realm of understanding, and that's probably way far more than we thought was going to happen. My point is that these are now our base maps. Okay, these are the ones that we will interact with, whether it's just points on a map, or whether it's to display models, which we are getting towards, or whether it's even going beyond that to ask questions. If we take Google at its word that they're now going to organize the world's information geospatially, we will want to do more than just interact and point and click on the points on the map. I think we're going to be doing more. We're just at the very early stages.
Well, and I think that's true. And I think the analogy, you know, goes way back to the beginning of automated cartography. You know, the first goal was to sort of do what we do with pen and ink on a computer. You know, put the dots on the map, right? And then from that came that whole next revolution of what does this all mean? How can we model it? How can we do better cartographic visualization and so forth? And I think you're right that we need to retrace our steps with this new platform.
Take it back to the days when we were in school, and somebody mentioned this last week at the ESRI Federal Users Group meeting, back to the days when we were using Mylar and X-Acto knives and doing our thematic maps with color-coded Mylar, which was, wow, how antiquated was that, right? These are our base maps now. We're creating digital base maps, and I think that is the new realm. That is the new interface that we're getting to. And the point I want to emphasize is, people who are now, who like Google and who like the interface, are going to have to get educated pretty quick as to the future of what these globes will mean. And I think, as I said in the beginning, specialized industry-specific globes will be developed, organizing their own information, and it could be internal, it could be behind a firewall, it could be an appliance, that will be more meaningful to these folks that are doing things within a particular industry.
Okay, let's push that forward. Let's pick an industry, and I'll let you pick, and let's try to sort of do a thought experiment of what that might look like or act like.
Yeah, the way I would visualize this is let's take a large retail establishment like McDonald's Corporation, who has been using GIS for many years. I could see that they would have their own geospatial appliance, their own globe of all of their franchisees, all of their employees, all of their sales information managed on a globe, and that they would have their own, for lack of a better word, their own geospatial war room for their marketing department, their human resources department, whatever that may be. But it's a common operational picture for the entire company. and that they can go in and point and click on an individual McDonald's property, and maybe they're doing this already, say, what were my sales yesterday? How many employees showed up to work? What was my egress and ingress of the customers coming in and out of that store? Where did they come from? You know, did they use their new McDonald's frequent buyer swipe card that had their zip code on it or their address or whatever that may be? And now I can visualize and diagram of where my customers are coming from. That's the kind of specialized behind-the-firewall globe that I can envision for the retail establishments.
Okay, so what exactly is the difference between that and today's enterprise-wide geospatial implementation? Just that it's on a globe and it has this interface?
Yes. Well, we're not there yet, right? Okay, so if we're taking GIS out of the back room and bringing it to an enterprise level, bringing it up to an executive level, it's the same analogy as I went back to with Alabama. Those sheriffs at that county level said, I want that. And I would think the executives, now who are educated in using Google or Microsoft, like that perspective view. I want that, and that's what they'll use.
So whereas they would be less inclined, I suspect McDonald's has something along the way to what you just described, whether it's based on a 3D globe or something less exciting. I think what you're saying is that more people will use it and more people will be attuned to using it because of their experience with the existing 3D globes.
Right, and again, that level of exposure to geospatial information, whether it was done by Google or whoever, but probably by Google, and the recognition that that's a very user-friendly interface. Now I can manage my corporate and enterprise data on that globe. Yeah, it was great to have the GIS and the desktop mapper in the back room, but you know what? This is I'm much more in tune to this way of looking at information.
What kinds of corporate culture or organizational culture changes are going to be required for that to really take hold? Is that going to be a big leap?
No. Look at what's happened to, again, 2 years hence from the introduction of Google Earth. The children of the executives are showing them how to use it. So our level of education has just been brought up a step from beyond where we might have had training in what my corporate geospatial system was at that time. I just think that we're there now to being able to interact with these new programs.
If such a system were made available to all of the different departments, say at McDonald's, people would start using it. They wouldn't feel any apprehension at banging on it, to use our sort of generic term of fighting with software. The thing that's perhaps missing is that next level of analysis. Not that it wouldn't necessarily be part of that globe, but that they would have any experience with that kind of analytics. They'd have experience with putting dots on the map, clicking on something to get information. But how do they get that insight into that next level of analytics, that stuff that GIS does so well?
That is a dead-on comment. That is exactly the point, is that they won't have to feel like they're wrestling with the software.
But they're also may not be ready to take that next step of analytics.
Well, we're not there yet. But I'm saying if we look even a baby step into the future, I can see us getting to that stage. I can see organizations getting to that point where the analytical part is now the next generation of a functionality into those globes. Maybe we don't even know what that functionality will be. Maybe somebody else will be creating the models, a retail model, a gravity model, a spatial interaction model that will be just displayed on that platform. And maybe others will be creating models, whereas before they were just creating maps. Models now revealed through these globes, and ArcGIS Explorer can do a model view implementation.
Okay, I think that's sort of where I'm going, which is I think that the virtual Earth and the Google Earth have brought us to the point that you've described, where we've educated a generation of users to get comfortable with this dots on a map sort of implementation. I'm going to put the challenge to the geospatial community to take us to that next step, that is making the next generation comfortable with not just the dots on the map, but the analytics that occur to the dots on the map. That's something that the geospatial industry has a grasp of that no one else does. And they have to take responsibility for taking that next step.
Well, that's all the time we have for today. Our sponsor, ESRI, would like to remind you that ESRI's 28th Annual International Users Conference will be held August 4th to the 8th in San Diego, California. Experience the largest GIS conference in the world at this annual gathering, offering innovation at its best. Online information for registration is available now. To view this information, go to www.esri.com/directionsmag. Thanks for listening today. If you'd like to provide us with a comment on today's podcast, please write to us at editors@directionsmag.com. Thanks again, and be sure to tell a friend.